I was trying to figure out if I was going to like dress up for this, whatever. And I was like, you know what? No, that's not me. I'm just going to dress comfortably. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, this feels like the same exact thought process I had when we met up at Chibo to talk about how we could work together. And I was going to get like dressed up, like professional, blah, 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 to meet with you. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because that's not who I am. And I put on Vans and jeans and like a black shirt. And I remember when I met up with you and we talked about it, I was like, this is who I am. And I remember like kind of sticking my foot out of the booth and being like, I'm going to wear my Vans. So this is the outfit that I wore when we met up for lunch. It might be a different, it's the gist of it. I can't say that they're the same jeans, but this is the gist of the outfit. And that was my thought, was like, you know what? No, I'm going to go and be me.
Well, I think that's really interesting. And that probably took a fair amount of courage, because at that time I was still very much in playing the part that I had created, which was I wore a suit and a tie almost every day. And I'm not sure, I don't remember what I wore on that day, but you know, I was known for professional dress, like to a T all the time. Welcome, everybody. This is, I don't even know what episode of Beyond the Deal. We're workshopping names. And for right now, the podcast is going to be called Beyond the Deal. And we welcome Kristen O'Brien. Welcome.
Thank you.
The purpose of today's sort of conversation, I wanted everybody to kind of get introduced to you as a person and a real estate agent. I think it's been interesting, our history together, both sort of some similarities between how we got into real estate and then sort of our time together. And Lauren was asking me this morning how long we've been sort of partnered together, and I couldn't even remember. Is it like right before I went to Compass or right after I went to Compass?
It was right after you left. Yeah, it was like right when you started with Compass.
Right when I started, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we even had a conversation as I was transitioning away from Remax.
Correct.
So that would have been right around 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. When we like officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know you already, tell them a little bit about yourself. You live here in Mansfield, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
I grew up in Mansfield starting in middle school. We moved up here from Florida. So I'm grew up in Mansfield during college, and a few years after I was kind of closer to the city. And then I was determined to not marry a Mansfield guy. And I married a Mansfield guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up back in Mansfield.
That sounds very similar to, I was resolute that I would not end up a real estate agent. And
yeah,
here I am.
Yeah.
Some things are undeniable, and that's just how it goes.
That is, I mean, especially with our past of our moms both being in real estate for a very long time. I was never going to sell real estate.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens too. So tell everybody, so how long have you been in real estate?
So I got my license in 2010. So prior to that, I was an office manager at an advertising agency, and I loved the freedom that it sounded like my mom had when I was in that job, that I had to show up every day at 9 and I had to sit there till 5, whether I was busy or not, whether I, you know, had work to do in the office that day or not. And I hated being bound to that. And when I...
And were you working in the city at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was okay.
In the South End.
And were you living here, or were you up in the city?
No, we didn't move down to back down to Mansfield to 2013. So I was living in Quincy, working in the South End. And when I started to think about like my future, I couldn't imagine being at a job where I just was bound to a desk all day, every day.
And knowing your personality, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I just can't. I remember my mom calling me one day from TJ Maxx, like middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday, and was like, hey, I just found this sweater. I thought you'd love it. And I was like, oh my God, I want a job where like when my schedule allows, I can take a break and go do something. If I don't have make me be here. I'm not bound to something just because.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of triggered it, was like, I want a job where I can be flexible. I can be out and about. I can be meeting people. I can be, I don't know, just not bound to a desk.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So with real estate, and a lot of people get into the business with that expectation, or that's one of the biggest sort of draws within the real estate industry, is the flexibility of your of the schedule. What is the reality of that, though?
So the reality is, she probably called me in January, right? And a slow time in the market, and had that flexibility. I think the reality is, in those busier times, and it's not as freeing as you may think. The reality is, though, that if you have the personality where you just need to be switching up your day to day. You need to be meeting new people. You need to be out and about. This is a great, great career.
Yeah. And I think with anything, right, in life, any positive also has a negative to it, right? The freedom and flexibility that you have with this job to be able to sort of make your own schedule requires that you work, if you're successful at it, it requires that you work at different times. So yes. just because your mother is out at, you know, TJ Maxx in the middle of the day on a Tuesday or whatever day it was.
It's probably because she had a showing at 6 and that was her time frame to get, you know, her errands done.
Right. So I think that there's this perception that, oh my gosh, it can be this this flexible schedule where I get to create my own life and, you know, be able to do what I want when I want. And the reality is that you can, to a certain extent, formulate your schedule. But if you're going to have any level of success, staying on schedule is actually one of the most important things that you can do.
You got it.
And the time frame that you're going to work is probably vastly greater than any sort of corporate job that you would have.
Right.
So take us through the early years. Like what's been your experience? What do you like about real estate? What's some of your challenges? Tell me a little bit about real estate for you.
Having a consistent paycheck to that just risky going out there and not making any money until you have that first commission check is scary, and it's hard for most. And I, like most people that shift into this career, had a second job. I was bartending. I was waitressing. I was working nights.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, I don't know. I was probably 26.
Yeah. Okay. 26, so that was about the same time that I got into the business in this area.
I don't know if the math is mathing on that.
I love mathing on math. Yeah.
Yeah. I was probably like 20, 27, 28, somewhere in there, because I was 28 or 29 when we got married, and that was in 2012.
Right. So you're talking about before late kids, 20s, not a whole lot of responsibilities. Nope. Yep. You know, you could sort of do that dual thing, bartend and waitress and do the real estate and that sort of thing. Yeah.
You got to be all in at some point. And so once I got a couple of commission checks under my belt, you know, I just started to save, and I just had to fully switch over, because I would find myself in the walk-in in the back of the restaurant on the phone at 6 o'clock trying to negotiate a contract. And I'm like, I can't do this.
It's not sustainable.
No. Yeah. And you have to be all in. You, a lot of when you are doing your business is on nights and on weekends, which is when I was at the bar. So
right.
you had to stop. But yeah, so the first couple years, while it was hard as an adjustment, because you don't have the confidence behind you of the knowledge of real estate and how things go and contracts and your communication skills, your negotiating skills, like all of that still needs to be fine tuned. But I was in a great position with my age, because a lot of my friends were looking to buy. So I had this great pool of people that were willing to take a risk on me, you know, let me get a chance, you know, in this industry. So the timing was nice of all of that I didn't fully know what I was doing, but I could rely on my mom. I could call her at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night and ask her how to do something, and I didn't feel bad. So it was great to have her kind of right behind me, guiding me through it all.
And I think that that's interesting too, because what that illustrates to me, two things. Number one is that relationships matter. And that's the consistent theme within real estate, or really when you're trying to produce outsized outcomes, regardless, is relationships. So you had all these great relationships, which meant that people were willing to take a risk on you. But at the same time, even though you lacked the experience, you also had the relationship, your mother's, you know, success in the business and her experience to lean on. So not only do your clients get the relationship and the friendliness and, you know, obviously your willingness to kind of give them energy and enthusiasm and time, but you could also lean on the experience of your mom. How was it working with your mom? Jude, turn this podcast off.
Yeah. Can we mute this for a few? To be honest, like I said, it was really great to be able to rely on her, her knowledge and her experience. I think all of us are kind of different people, and we handle people and situations a little bit differently, right, wrong, or indifferent. But I think that was the biggest challenge in the beginning, was I learned how to do real estate the way she does it. You know, my mom had been at RE/MAX for a long time, and the way it worked out when she she decided to split off and open her own agency. And that was right around the time of me getting my license. So it kind of all worked out that my dad got his license and there was a small office of maybe 5 or 6 agents working there. It was helpful to see how things went, but there were times when a conflict would be handled or a negotiation would be taking place. And it wasn't exactly how maybe I would handle things, but I didn't know enough to do it differently. So it was nice though I started to kind of observe the way my dad would do things, or I'd follow another agent on a listing appointment. And it was, you get that variety of, oh, I could actually say this, or I could handle it this way. And so it helped me develop into who I wanted to be as an agent. But you know, it is hard to learn from your parents and to take direction from them while you're trying to establish yourself as an adult, as a professional, and then still feeling like you're under your parents.
I always look at it like shadow, right? Yeah. Not necessarily in a negative way, but Kristen and I share the fact that our mothers are both in real estate and have been for a long time. I knew Judy from when I started at RE/MAX, because I started in 2006, and she's a golfer and I'm a golfer, and there was a RE/MAX golf league. And so we played a lot of golf together and got to know each other fairly well. And then, you know, her and I weren't close enough that when she left to open up her own shop that we stayed in great touch, but obviously we sell in the same market. So I really didn't sort of start to get to know you until maybe a year and a half before we started working together. I think we bumped into each other on a transaction. We did that transaction over in Forest Park together.
Yep. I think the first one we did was over on Nightway. You had the seller on Nightway.
That's right. Buyers. Yep.
Yep. And then, yes, and then the one in Forest Park, we just, for whatever reason, there were 2 or 3 transactions kind of back to back that we were working on together.
Yeah. And I think that was that's when I started to recognize that just the interactions with you were very, Nightway had to be after, wasn't it?
Maybe. Yeah.
But because I remember Nightway, because that was a bit contentious. There was some stuff that was going on, and we were able to kind of smoothly transition everything to closing.
Yep.
But I just remember that the conversations were really easy. And that's one of those things that throughout my real estate career, when I look at real estate agents, you know, the hard thing to teach is just a conversational style, an ability for an agent to be able to communicate without sort of creating tension mm-hmm. and conflict mm-hmm. and just look for a resolution. There's a lot of real estate agents that, you know, create conflict and create more animosity than there needs to be.
Agreed.
And you had a sort of a unique ability to be able to just kind of move things forward. And listen, this is the facts. This is what's going on. Like, it's not me. It's not you.
I remember on York, there was an issue with like the moving date, something. There was some issue came up and my buyers had to pay extra money for the movers. And it was kind of the issue came up 50-50 sell side, buy side. And I remember calling you to see if you would chip in a little bit of your commission. Mm-hmm. And I would too, to get, you know, to cover that. And I feel like because our conversations had gone really well and we weren't at each other, right? We were trying to go together to get to the finish line. I remember you saying, I never throw in my commission on a conflict like that. This isn't normally how I do business, but you know what? I will.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said this is the only time I've ever done this, but I will. I get it. And I felt like it was because of our tone and our communication.
In no uncertain terms, that is, because I've changed my tune on that a little bit, because I also recognize that I have the ability to sort of smooth things over with that. And so I've sort of changed my tune, but I was because that was very common back in the day. It was like, well, you're making a lot of money, so chip in. And I'm like, but I'm not part of the negotiation. This is a negotiation between a seller and a buyer.
Yeah.
And if things come up between a seller and a buyer, then they have to, like, why is my professional fee being included in the negotiation?
Right.
And that was you know, again, it was sort of a limiting belief. Like I still to this day, I still sort of believe that. But yeah. I also recognize that sometimes just moving things forward and keeping everything calm makes a lot of sense. And I also know that there's a lot more that we as agents can do now to prevent issues and problems that perhaps I didn't have the infrastructure or the support or the staffing to do.
And I remember in the case that we were in, it was very much a gray area. Yeah. It was some miscommunication. It wasn't like anything contractual. It was like some assumptions. And I think you and I both had made some assumptions. So it was a little bit of our
collective
fault.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were willing to, you know, and it's not often when you get in that situation. But I just, I remember like all transactions go through some conflict, some issues that, you know, they're not all perfectly smooth. But each time we got through it with more ease than I expected. And which is nice. It's kind of what taught me that can be how real estate can go.
And I think the Knight Way, and I when you said Knight Way, I didn't even remember which one you were talking about. I used to have a great memory for all the transactions that I did, but they all just kind of blend in together. I'm like, where is even Knight Way? But I remember that was when I realized that we worked well together when we did the York, but the Knight Way was the one where I was like, there's got to be something here. And so fast forward maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, and as I was leaving Compass, I was sort of like at the peak of what I could possibly handle. And I was starting to recognize that I wanted to have a little bit more support from an agent side. I had some great support. I had a listing manager and a transaction manager to help me through the process. But, you know, the activities that I was doing, you know, were so overwhelming that I needed some help. And when I looked around, the idea of bringing somebody on that was like, that I had to coach on how to be calm and communicate with people. Mm-hmm. That's something that like I just don't have a whole lot of patience to teach. And I think it's harder to teach. I can teach how to do a real estate transaction because there's nothing overly complicated about it, but your ability to communicate is something that's harder, right? And so I think we might have bumped into each other, or like you had like maybe shown a property, or I'd shown a property of yours or something like that. And I just said, why don't we go grab a cup of coffee or grab a bite to eat?
That was my neighbors across the street were selling, and you had buyers that were, we even had the home inspection, but ultimately they ended up not moving forward. And I remember when you called me, you were like, you know, they're not going to move forward. You know, this is the case, but how can we work together? I'm still like every time we'd end a transaction, you would be like, we got to figure out a way to work together. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I'm still working with my parents. I don't feel comfortable leaving them, and I don't really know. And every time we would just be like, how can we work together? And we just kept saying, when the timing's right, it'll make sense. But you know, we need to be able to figure something out in the future where we can work together.
Yeah. And it's funny because that sort of matches my thoughts these days on agent attraction and relationships. When you know a relationship is good, it's when somebody is willing to do something regardless of whether they know what the opportunity is. Like if they will partner with you and just figure it out because of the person that you are and the person they are, that's when a relationship and a partnership, I think that's when it really works. If you're trying to figure out a way to make it work, like it doesn't feel right, but you're forcing it, that's when things don't work out in my experience.
Yeah.
So
we had to wait for that right timing.
Right. And it's funny that the right timing for us to partner up also corresponded like just chaos in your life starting to ensue, right? Like,
yeah,
we partnered up in 2021, which would have been right after I joined with Compass, and you came on board with me right after the transition. And then Give people a little insight into, you know, what the past couple of years of your life has been like.
You know, at the time I had a son that was like three and a half. For anyone that knows me, that they know that, you know, to get pregnant, we had to go through IVF. There was, you know, that was going to be the only option. So we struggled with whether or not we wanted to have another kid after Ben. Yeah, oddly enough, I got lots of Bens in my life.
Well, the similarities between us are stark because my wife and I struggled with the same, you know, getting pregnant and going through IUI and a bunch of other stuff in order to have kids. And, you know, then we both have mothers that are in real estate, and, you know, both of us swore to never sell real estate. And, you know, then so the similarities again between the two of us were pretty stark throughout. Yeah. So then you have the 3.5-year-old.
Yep.
And then
we still had some embryos deciding, you know, age wise, do I want to have another kid? You know, we struggled for a while. I joined on with you and we were like, all right, let's just try one more time. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we're done here. And I was like, okay, great. Sounds good. And lo and behold, we went out for Sandy's birthday lunch. Yep. And I got a call from my doctor that it took. And
well, like me and Sandy knew before your husband did.
Yes, because I was sitting at the lunch table not expecting.
Right.
Because of the way I didn't think that it had taken because of the symptoms I was.
You were really sure that it didn't.
I'm pretty sure I was drinking a beer at that lunch. I had no.
There's a high likelihood that happened. Yeah.
Like I had no thought or intention of actually being pregnant. And so we got that call. Yeah. So I was like, I'm pregnant.
Right.
So yeah, that was I joined on in March. I think that was in like May.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then all chaos ensued.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember Connor was born in January. I remember in December we were trying to set goals for the next year. And I remember telling you that I don't know what life will be like when I have Connor. I don't know. I can't set goals right now. I can't because I had this sinking feeling it wasn't going to be as easy as it was with the first one. And turned out I was right.
And that was beginning of 2022?
2023.
Which is interesting too, because business, it's funny how things actually work out, you know, the way that they should. So, yes. You know, 2021 was like a record year for me. I think we brought in just under $1 million, like $2,500 short of $1 million in commissions that year. 2022 was good, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as good because the market was shifting. And interest rates were going up.
We were working in your home office. We didn't have a base here yet. You know,
right.
it was a big transition time.
Yeah. I think we just started, we got into this office in like May of that year and you were pregnant at the time. And then we finally got settled and, you know, again, there was a lot of ups and downs with Compass and, you know, the transition over to Compass was far more difficult than we had anticipated. And then you got pregnant and then 2022 was a good year, but we could smell the writing on the wall that, you know, that we were in the start of a real estate, you know, transaction recession, not so much pricing continued to climb, but all of a sudden we were sinking, you know, 25% fewer sales, 40% fewer sales. And then 2023, when you really had to take a step back, to be honest with you, like everything happened for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was at the point where I didn't have, when we first started talking, the trajectory of my business was like we were doing, I think we did 86 deals that year. And I had the anticipation that was just going to continue to grow. And all of a sudden it went down in 2023. I think I did like 56 deals or 57 deals, which was the lowest number that I'd done in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even really have the business to be able to share with you. At the same time, my longtime transaction manager found another opportunity, which was, again, very much, you know, like things happen for a reason. I was starting to get to the point where the business didn't justify two full-time salaried employees with office overhead and then Compass taking their cut. And all of a sudden I'm looking at my bottom line and I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. Like things are tough right now.
Yep.
And that was when we started pivoting and shifting and you went, listen, I don't know what I can do, but I want to stay involved. Like I don't want to just get so disconnected from this. So what did we do next?
So
I don't even remember. Was it your idea or my idea or was it a combination? Tell the folks first what we were doing.
When Connor was born, he was a little bit premature, but ultimately it took us a long time to realize that he aspirates when he would take a bottle. So he would get really congested. So we had him in and out of doctors. Was it an allergy? Was it a lung thing? Was it, you know, we had him tested for, what is it? I forget. There's some sort of like a disease.
Scary shit.
Yeah. Real big stuff we were trying to eliminate. He ended up in the hospital. He is great now, but the first year of his life, he had a lot of ENT issues. And then when he was hospitalized, we realized that he, through an x-ray to rule out pneumonia, they noticed that his heart looked a little enlarged. And we did an EKG and we learned out that we found out that he had a couple of issues with his heart that will ultimately still require open heart surgery in a couple of years. So, you know, you're at your lowest point. You don't know what's wrong with your baby. He's in the hospital. He's 6 months old. He's not even 11 pounds. And he also has a heart condition, right? Yep. So like it was blow after blow. And I knew I couldn't take care of him and sell real estate. But that's the previous transaction manager was you know, sliding into a new role at a new job. All of a sudden, that kind of a light bulb went off that I was like, oh, but I could do that. I know real estate well enough that I can run your transactions. I can do them from home. I can do them at night. I can do them while he's napping. And all the guts involved in transaction management, I already know that. And I needed a break, but I wanted to stay in real estate. So yeah, I remember asking if you wanted to go get a coffee. And we went down to Providence Bagel and I was like, you know, up to you, but you know, if you want to just pay me per transaction, I don't need it like a salary. I want to stay in the business. I want to stay involved and I'm committed to helping you in any way that I can. This is why I came on board. So it was, I mean, the timing couldn't have worked out better that to just kind of shift into that role.
And that's also what I've always appreciated about our relationship and our conversations is that we don't know exactly what or how things are going to work out. But one of the things, and I mentioned this to you the other day when we were working on your 2025 business plan, but what I have always tried to surround myself with people who are like brutally honest and like almost don't have filters to the point where they can like hide their bullshit, hide what they actually think. I have a very hard time discerning like when through spoken word, I can feel it more than I can like logically understand it. Mm-hmm. But I can feel when people are bullshit, but a lot of the times when they talk to me and if they have like a good way of hiding what they truly feel, sometimes I'm really confused and I have a hard time like discerning one way or the other. And you're very much, you have an inability to like to mask it or pretend.
Yeah.
And so it's always just been really refreshing to me that through conversations, we can just like, I don't have to figure out whether you mean something or whether you're just saying it. Like, I know that what you say is what you mean. And we were always able to just kind of go, all right, I'm not sure how this is going to work. I don't know whether it's going to be good or whether it's going to be bad, but let's give it a shot. And we'll just be really open with one another. And I feel like that was the result of that conversation. Yeah. Like, let's figure it out. It seems to like align with everything that's going on. You know, like my life is chaotic, but I want to stay involved. You need help with this. I'd like to do it. Let's partner up on this. And we figured it out for the better part of like 18 months.
Yeah.
While everything was going on.
And then the timing just continued to evolve and work out where like, you know, we hired an assistant to kind of help in all regards and she was looking to pick up hours and I now have two healthy kids that are in school full time and I'm starting to get my time and my life back. And at that same time, you know, that all kind of came together. Nikki was looking for more time and, you know, it was great to be able to shift back into real estate.
But do you think it was that easy? Because I remember that there was some doubt and uncertainty with you. And I think that there was one particular moment in time that sort of made it obvious that you wanted to step back into this role. And it happened this past year when I went to Italy with my family for 2 weeks.
Correct.
And probably the best testament that I can give to you was that it's always been very hard for me to like separate work and home life because I have to be on all the time. I've just learned how to work and be around my family or be around my family and work, right? And my goal has always been to separate those two at certain times of the year because I can't on the weekends. I can't at night. Like I have to run a real estate business. So I go to Italy and the most comfortable thing for me was, or the most telling thing for me was leaving the business. And we were cranking this year at that time, leaving for Italy and shutting my phone off for 2 weeks. No email, no text messages, nothing, like no communication with his office. Absolutely nothing. And I went away and I had no problem doing it. So tell me about your experience with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we had 22 transactions going on. simultaneously at that time, but I was like nervous and excited to kind of take that over for you, mostly because you deserve that vacation. But once I got into it and was just handling things and making decisions and, you know, just there, yes, there were rough times. There were situations where I had to throw your money at a problem, you know, mm-hmm. just to keep moving. But as it was going on, I, you know, Sandy and I would keep a list of, you know, how many dumpster fires did we put out? How many offers did we get? You know, and we were, she was like the best hype girl. And we just were so excited for you to get back and to be able to be like, everything's all set.
Yeah.
You know, for you to come back and not have to deal with any conflict, any issues, smooth anything over. You came back and we're like, all right, what do I need to do? And I was like, nothing, just settle in. We can talk in a few days.
That was astonishing to me that I didn't have to come back and work 2 weeks, like just putting out fires and, you know, smoothing things out. I literally got back and the first couple of days back, I was like looking around and I was like, kind of enjoy this. And you had created the relationships with the clients and stepped into the position that I was in. And almost you were like, I'll just continue to do this until closing. And I'm like, all right, that works for me.
Coming into your office and being like, I got my mojo back.
Yeah.
I got my mojo. Like that was what I needed, was to be reminded that I can do this. And like, just because I had taken a backseat for a while and was in a role of a transaction manager. And I don't know, I think I just kind of lost that confidence in myself of my abilities. Because I had dimmed myself down for a bit to fit into a different role.
Yep.
Because I couldn't at the time.
Right.
Handle more. But then to be able to like feel that feeling again of like, yes, I can do this. I've got it. I'm good at my job. Was kind of that, yeah, you're right, the defining moment of like, I want to get back into this.
And I think for people that are listening to that, I think what that illustrates too is that you have to put yourself in uncomfortable positions to challenge yourself to really figure out what you're made of,
yeah.
Right? And a lot of people like dip their toe into the water with real estate, and they dip their toe into water with any sort of adventure that they're or interest that they're going on. And I think it's really telling that when you challenge yourself, you're going to really figure out who you are and what you're capable of. And that just doing that even once can really propel you to a point where you have confidence going forward, and it can have an exponential effect on the rest of your life. And so I'm really excited about the upcoming year and figuring out what we can do and really watching it. I continue to tell the team and to everybody that's sort of within our organization that 2025 is going to be a really, really fun year. It's going to be a fun year to see the growth. It's going to be a fun year to see what we can accomplish, how much impact that we can have on our clients, our friends, our family. And so I'm excited to spend the next year with you and see what we can do. So
yeah, I'm excited as well. Like we said the other day, nervous and excited. And
yep.
Nervousness is what kind of really, you put it really well when you said like without being a little bit nervous, like there's not that room for that growth. And it just, I don't know, it's a sign of good things to come, of being that combo of nervous and excited.
Yeah, excellent. So I anticipate that we'll spend a lot more time here so that people can get to know you. We'll get into some different topics because there's a lot that we can still share with people that I think would have an impact. So excited to spend some more time with you down the road.
I would love that.
All right.
Okay.
Peace. Awesome.